Welcome to UF Health Med Edcast with UF Health Shands Hospital. I'm Melanie Cole, and today we're talking about understanding, treating, and advancing Parkinson's care. Joining me is Dr. Michael Oken. He's board-certified neurologist, movement disorders specialist, and neuroscientist. He's the Adelaide Lackner Distinguished Professor of Neurology at the University of Florida College of Medicine. He's the National Medical Advisor to the Parkinson's Foundation and Executive Director of the Norman Fixel Institute for Neurological Diseases at UF Health Shands Hospital. Dr. Oken, thank you so much for joining us today. As we deepen our understanding of Parkinson's pathophysiology, can you please start by speaking about how our view has evolved regarding why the disease starts, particularly when we think of the interaction between genetics, environmental exposures? Start by telling us a little bit about Parkinson's itself and the environmental factors that we've learned about.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. And Parkinson is becoming more common, and we've referred to it as a pandemic, and that the number of cases is exploding. On the latest data that we have from the Global Burden of Disease study from the Gates Foundation, Parkinson's really is a disease that folks can get stiffness, they can get slowness, problems with shaking and shuffling, but also other symptoms like depression and anxiety and sleeping dysfunction. Parkinson isn't just a disease of dopamine. And in fact, we now know it's not just a disease of the brain. We see Parkinson in the body, in the skin, in the gut, and in other areas. So we have to think of it as a much larger disease. The genetic causes of Parkinson are only about 13 out of every 100 cases. So that means in 87 out of 100, we're thinking about environmental factors. So chemicals, pesticides, air. So we often refer to this as, do we have bad air? Do we have bad water? And do we have something in our food supply? So air, water, and food are the things that we really have begun to think about in Parkinson in terms of why are these numbers being driven so rapidly?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And it's evolving so quickly. I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the Parkinson's Foundation Center of Excellence, located at the Fixel Institute at UF Health. How is that contributing to advancing our understanding through clinical trials, imaging, research, and multidisciplinary approaches to this condition itself?
It's super important that as we begin to take care of people with chronic diseases like Parkinson's disease, that we move the chess pieces differently. And the way that we like to do it is through a center of excellence concept. This concept was really advanced by the Parkinson Foundation, and they have these grants that they give out. And I happen to be the medical advisor, and for many years, I was the medical director for the Parkinson's Foundation. And we're proud to have only about 60 of these and growing. And these are centers that allow us to make sure that the person with disease is the sun. Okay, so when I say the person is the sun, and we rotate around them and provide all the services that they need. And so it's beyond, when you go to the doctor, you're lucky to get a parking spot, you're lucky to see one person. But when you have a chronic disease like Parkinson, we need to make sure we have centers of excellence that give access to all of those services that you're going to need: neurology, neurosurgery, psychology, psychiatry, you're going to need rehab. There are over 10 different services that we offer in our center, and other Parkinson's centers also offer. And this is the idea that we need to make sure the person with disease is the sun. And by the way, as part of this, making sure they have access to over 100 different clinical trials. So at the University of Florida Health and at the Fixel Institute, that's what we believe, that's our philosophy, and it's super important of how we take care of the people and how we're giving them hope for the next generation of therapies.
Such an important point that you just made. Now tell us about some of the latest models of care for Parkinson's, including the Parkinson's Universe model and the concept of this model of care that has drawn attention for its holistic and whole body approach. Because as you said, there are so many other professions involved in this condition and for these patients, so many different needs of care.
Absolutely. And we started with a model when we founded the Center for Movement Disorders here, that is now the Fixel Institute, which is a really awesome place. and brings a lot of hope to people from every continent except for Antarctica. We do have people who visit Antarctica on vacation, but we don't have anybody who actually lives there. But we see folks from all over, and we've expanded our sense of what the model of care should be. And we talk about it as a Parkinson universe model of care. And so the patient or the person with disease is the sun. The closest person to the sun is that planet. And what planet is that? That happens to be Mercury. And when you're the caregiver, which represents Mercury, you get hot because you're next to the sun, but you also get communication with all the other planets, which are all the other multidisciplinary specialists that we need to rotate in and out with a chronic disease to make sure that you're successful. Pluto is that almost planet that's right at the end of the orbit there, but it's still there. And Pluto represents the stigma. And I'm really sad to share with everybody that 25 to 50% of people with Parkinson hide their diagnosis. And that's unacceptable. We need to remove the stigma that is associated with the disease. We also have satellites that are orbiting in our universe. These are things like the sensors, telemedicine, moving care into the home, making sure people get access to the technologies that are going to change things for tomorrow. The stars in the model represent all the support groups and all the support that we put around the people. And then, of course, there are the asteroid fields. And the asteroid fields are parking, access, insurance, all the things that keep folks from Parkinson from getting the care that they need. And so we think of it now as not just the person with disease is the sun model. We think of it as the universe. And we've got to move our chess pieces around and make sure that we are now assembling centers of excellence for folks to improve not only their care, but also give them access to research and access to things that are going to impact their lives. Because one of the myths of Parkinson is that it's not treatable. And Parkinson is not ALS. It's not Lou Gehrig's disease. It's not a brain tumor. It's not a stroke, and we have many treatments. And so folks that are listening should know that it's really important to get to care centers and to get that comprehensive approach.
Well, it is such a comprehensive approach. And Dr. Okun, what's exciting and on the horizon for Parkinson's treatment? What are some of the most promising advances that are really exciting you for disease-modifying therapy, whether pharmacologic or gene-based? Speak about that.
Yeah, so one of the fun things about my job is that not only do I have the opportunity to impact the care of folks and families through multidisciplinary care, but I'm also a neuroscientist and an author. And so it gives me the opportunity to really get close with a lot of the therapies. We've developed a lot of the neuromodulation types of therapies. This is like electrical stimulation and ways that we change how brain cells communicate with each other. And we develop smart devices and AI-based devices for folks to lead better lives with neurological diseases like Parkinson. But on the horizon, we think about navigating new therapies into three horizons. There's the immediate horizon. So we have 12 million people with Parkinson now today. And we know from the Global Burden of Disease study that those numbers are exploding. We had actually predicted back in 2020, we would have 12 million by 2035. But the new Global Burden of Disease study tells us we have 12 million today, 11.8 million in 2025. And so we need therapies. And when we think about therapies, we think about the short term for navigating to new therapies, the next 5 years, the midterm, 5 to 10 years, and the long term, 10 to 15 years. And the way I think about it is in a lot of the R words. We need to rethink the way that we're using things like stem cells. We need to repurpose drugs that are already out there and identify the targets and think about the why. We need to go up that stream and understand why Parkinson starts, why it progresses, and why we see this disease with so many different manifestations across folks. It's Parkinson's diseases. And we need to be thinking about how we can regenerate circuits, like circuits for thinking and cognition. So that's our thinking circuits that get affected in diseases that are degenerative like Parkinson. But we're also so super excited about gene therapies, about CRISPR, which is these gene editing technologies. And then of course, when we think about long-term horizons, we can't forget about nanomedicine. We need to go smaller, get things to the brain. We've got all sorts of really cool therapeutics, learning how to deliver them and developing these tools. We think these three horizons are actually really exciting. And many of the short-term horizons are now available on clinical trials.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. And Dr. Okun, as we're thinking about how the Fixel Institute integrates patient care, because as you said, and the caregiver, education, research to create this continuous feedback loop for innovation, and the caregiver's education, because again, that is so important as they are revolving around the sun, as you said, looking ahead, what are some of the top priorities for expanding that access and deepening our understanding and education to improve the outcome for people living with Parkinson's disease?
So we have a bold vision. Our vision includes that we need to level the rise of Parkinson's disease by 2035. And of course, we talked about those environmental factors, things like air, water, feed, getting pesticides off of our food supply. So we need to level it for this generation and for the next generation. We need to increase the funding by 10 times. And so we've been very aggressive in advocacy efforts to the White House, to red card campaigns, to patient advocacy organizations. We're just not putting enough in. And we've studied other diseases like polio, like HIV, and like cancer. And we know that if we don't put the amount of resources we need into this, particularly resources for prevention, where we only put 2 or 3 cents out of every dollar into preventative therapies for Parkinson's, that we're just not going to move the needle. And we have a bold vision also to make sure we have 100% access to dopamine for everybody on the planet. It's a game changer for people as a drug. It's pennies on the dollar. And can you believe 2/3 of countries around the world don't have adequate access to this medication? So we call it our 0, 10, 100 bold goal, 0% rise, 10 times increased research funding, 100% dopamine for everyone. And then we're super excited about navigating those three areas. We're navigating short, medium, and long-term horizons for our research outlook for Parkinson's so we can move this needle and change and impact care, but also not forget about the 12 million people and growing that have Parkinson now. And we need to shift and move those chess pieces so that we can have a more effective way to take care of them. And we believe that's going to be a Parkinson universe type of model.
Wow. Thank you so much. That was such an enlightening and eye-opening discussion. Dr. Okun, you are quite the expert, and thank you so much for sharing that incredible expertise for other providers today and to learn more about the Parkinson's Foundation Center of Excellence located at the Fixel Institute at UF Health Shands Hospital. Please visit ufhealth.org and search Parkinson's Center of Excellence. And to listen to more podcasts from our experts, you can always visit ufhealth.org/medmatters. That concludes today's episode of UF Health Med EdCast with UF Health Shands Hospital. I'm Melanie Cole.